What's up? This is Pastor Travis. Thank you for tuning in to Desperation Church Podcast. Each message is prepared through the Holy Spirit, empowered and inspired with you in mind. Now prepare your hearts for a message from God today.
6:15, what is up? Man, I am excited about tonight. This has just been an incredible day. I love having church all day up here in Coleman. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Adam Hicks. I am our Jasper campus pastor. Pastor Andy preached in Jasper today, and so you guys are stuck with me. Everybody enjoy Thanksgiving? Yeah? Yeah? Did you eat a lot? Yeah. Okay, well, if you're taking notes, I want to talk to you tonight about gluttony. And no, I'm just kidding. I won't do that to you tonight. Man, I ate a lot of food on Thanksgiving. I mean, it was just, and then you take the leftovers home from your grandmother's house, if those of you who do it, and then you eat it for days and days and days. And I ate everything except cranberry sauce because it's disgusting, right? Anybody in here love cranberry sauce? Are you that person? See, it's a waste of a can. You know what I'm saying? It's just a waste of space. Waste of space on a plate is just weird. I was sitting at this this little event. It was a Relay for Life event in Jasper. And, you know, like, you know, little parties and things like that, they give you Thanksgiving meals early throughout the week of Thanksgiving. And so we had a Thanksgiving meal. And I ate everything on my plate except the cranberry sauce. And there was this total stranger sitting across the table from me. You know, I never met the guy before in my life. And I was just sitting there having a conversation with some people. And he goes, "Hey, man, hey, you gonna eat that cranberry sauce?" "No, sir." "Hey, pass your plate over here. Let me have it." I said, "So we're on that level now, right, where we can just eat off each other's plate. That's great. Yeah, you can have my cranberry sauce." That joker was passionate about some cranberry sauce. Anybody go shopping on Friday? Oh, there was no answer. It was like, Anybody go shopping on Friday? Anybody raise your hand if you went shopping? That's awesome. Yeah, I saw you guys. I saw some of you guys on YouTube fighting people over boots and things like that. It was awesome. Saw you on the news. It was awesome. Man, I went Black Friday shopping. I went to the Piggly Wiggly in Summerton on Black Friday, and I went and I got me some mayonnaise for this epic, like, Black Friday leftover turkey sandwich I made, okay? And it was off the chain. Anybody eat turkey sandwiches after Thanksgiving? I ate them for days and days and days. And I wore my jammies to the Piggly Wiggly. It was awesome. But anyway, thinking about this, there was this phrase that I kept hearing all week, okay? And it had to do with the shopping starting on Thanksgiving, on Thursday nights. It's no longer just Black Friday. It's on Thursday nights. And they call it Thanksgiving. Anybody heard that? Everybody was calling it Thanksgiving. It was on the radio. It was on social media. You know, it was on TV. It was just all over there calling it Thanksgiving, okay? And I kind of want to speak to you tonight, just kind of the opposite of that saying tonight, and talk to you about how thanks produces giving. Thankfulness produces giving. Okay, we're in a series right now called 1 Million Reasons. It's a series on thankfulness, and we're kind of thinking outside of the box. This whole thing is just trying to get us to shift our perspectives a little bit in our life, okay? Because we should never let our discontentment with what or who we don't have outweigh our thankfulness for what and who we do have, right? We should never let that outweigh our thankfulness. Never let our discontentment outweigh our thankfulness. And, you know, here's the deal. God has blessed us. Is there anybody in this room who's blessed? Man, God has blessed us. We are blessed, okay? And you may think, hey, man, if I just had this person, or if I just had that person, or if I just had a husband like that, or if I just had a wife like that, or if I just had that boyfriend or that girlfriend, if I made this much money, or if I just had that degree, or if I just had what that person had, listen, you are blessed right now, exactly where you are in life right this moment. You're blessed right now, okay? If you have air in your lungs, you are blessed, okay? If you have a heart beating in your chest, you are blessed. You know what that means? It means you have purpose. You're here tonight, you have a heart still beating. That means you still have purpose on this earth. But we are called to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Psalms 107:1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his faithful love endures forever." And then 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Okay, we are called to be thankful for the things that God has blessed us with. We are called to be thankful for the relationships that God has blessed us with. We are called to be thankful for the finances and the resources and everything that God has blessed us with. But do you know why God has blessed you? Number one, God has blessed you because he loves you. Of course, he's madly in love with you. That's why he blesses you. But secondly, he blesses you and me so that we can bless other people. See, we are blessed so that we can bless other people. See, thankfulness produces giving. Okay, and a lot of times what we do is we have a tendency for God to bless us, and we can say, oh, God, thank you so much for blessing me with this, and we can sit on it. Okay, we can hoard it in a sense. Anybody seen that show, Hoarders? Anybody know that show? Does it still come on TV? I don't even know if it comes on TV. Does anybody know a hoarder? Is anybody in here a hoarder? I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Nobody raise your hand, okay? But listen, I mean, if you did, I mean, there's been several people raise their hand as hoarders. Y'all could start a hoarding small group. You know, it'd be great. It'd be awesome. Small group's coming up. Small group leadership training every first Sunday of the month. You know, go to it next Sunday. It'll be awesome. But we can hoard the things that God has blessed us with. Like, we can just be thankful for them, say, God, thank you for blessing me, and never do anything with them. But God has blessed us with those things so that we can bless other people. And a lot of times when I say the word, you are blessed to be a blessing, a lot of times our minds go to finances. Okay, a lot of time our minds go to finances and resources and things like that. But there are so many things that God has given us that are meant to be shared, not hoarded. Okay, can I talk to you about a few of those things tonight? Is that okay? 6:15, some of you, one of you, thank you, Tyler. Listen, the very first thing that God gives us that a lot of times we can keep to ourselves if we're not careful, we can hoard it when really God gave it to us so that we can bless others, so that we can share it with others, is our stories. It's our stories. See, God gave you a story. Think about your past for a second. Think about what you've been through. Think about the story that is your life. God didn't give you that story just so you can, God didn't allow you to have that story just so you can say, I have that story, just so you can say, I've been through that and I made it, just so you can say, that event took place in my story. But he gave it to you so that your story might change other people's stories. Listen to this real quick. It's Genesis 50:20. It says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Let me say it like this. God can take, okay, because there's a lot of people in this room, you're like, hey, man, that's great, but I'm not really thankful for some things in my story. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are some things in my story that I really wish wasn't there, okay? If I could go back and tear the pages out, I would. You know, I'm not really thankful for some of the things that happened to me. I'm not really thankful for some of the things that I went through. I'm not really thankful for some of the things that I did that I wish I hadn't have done. But I want to tell you that God can take what the enemy meant for bad, what everything that the enemy meant to destroy your life with, destroy your family with, destroy your business with, destroy your parents with, destroy your kids with, destroy your relationships with, destroy your marriage with, destroy you with. He can take that and use it for good. He can use it for good. Everything in your story, he can use it for good. Okay, God didn't allow you to go through the things that you went through just so you can say you went through them, and man, bless God, I made it. But it could be that your story could change other people's stories. It could be that your story could change the trajectory of somebody's life. It could be that he brought you to this position that verse 20 says, so that you could save many people. It could be that your story could change stories. Are y'all with me? See, God didn't restore your marriage just so you can say, man, bless God. God, you restored my marriage. Thank you so much. I got my family back. We're good. Our marriage is restored. Thank you, Lord. And then sit on it. He restored your marriage so that you could restore other people's marriages. God didn't allow you to be a recovering addict just so you can say, man, praise God. God set me free. I'm a recovering addict now, man. I've just got a huge history in addiction or alcoholism. He didn't bring you to the place that he brought you to now just so you can be thankful and say, thank you, God, for setting me free. But he brought you to this place so that you can point people to the source of your recovery, and that's Jesus. So your story can change other people's stories. He can take the worst parts of your life, the worst things that you've been through, the tragedies that you've been through, and use them for good. You ever heard that phrase, one man's trash is another man's treasure? What if the worst part of your story that you wish wasn't there was that you consider trash could be a treasure to somebody else? Could mean life for somebody else because they found out, man, I'm not the only one who's been through that. I'm not the only one who's dealt with that. I'm not the only one who's done that. Wow, I'm not the only one. See, God can take your trash and your story and he can turn it into treasure. That's what he's good at, right? That's what he does. He takes ashes and turns it into beauty, right?
Y'all are quiet in this Presbyterian church. It's amazing. He can take the worst parts of your story and use them for the good. Don't hoard your story. Don't keep it to yourself. So many people will benefit from your story. The worst part of your story could be a treasure to somebody else. Let people know how Jesus came and met you in the middle of the worst times in your life. Okay? Let people share your story with people. Tell people your story. I'm telling you, it will change lives. Don't hoard your story. God allowed you to have the story that you have, to go through the things that you went through for the purpose of changing people's lives. He can use it. He can use what the enemy meant to destroy everything about you and use it to change people's lives and use it for the good. The second thing that we have a tendency to hoard that God has blessed us with is where our minds always go, and that's our finances. That's our finances and our resources, okay? Now listen, we are not a money-begging church, okay? We don't get up here every Sunday and give you a 15-minute sermon on why you need to tithe, you know? Sow your seed today, brother, you know? We don't pass the plate, you know? We don't do any of that. We don't pass it again when we don't have enough. We don't do any of that, okay? So you can't get us for that. But I do want to tell you that being a steward of what God has blessed you with is very important. And God wants you to enjoy your resources. He wants you to enjoy your finances. He wants you to spend it, save it, invest it. But there's a way that we can hoard our finances and our resources, and it's in the area of not allowing the Holy Spirit to be involved in how we spend our money or how we invest our money or how we give our money. Like saying, Father, you have blessed me with this, not for me to just sit on it, but so that I can be a blessing. How can I bless other people with what you have given me? How can I be a blessing to other people? And I promise you, when you're generous with your finances and when you're generous with your resources to other people, okay, you will continuously be blessed, okay? You're not going to run out, okay? You will continuously be blessed because you're generous. Proverbs 22:9, it says, he who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 14, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need. And listen to this, and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Now listen to verse 11. This is huge. Yes. You will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Which means you will be blessed in every way so that you can always bless other people. And when we take your gifts to those who are in need, they will thank God. So two good things will result from the ministry, from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem or the needs of the believers in Coleman, Jasper, and Arab will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Okay, you were blessed. We are blessed, not just so we can be thankful for what God has blessed us with, but so that we can bless other people. We are enriched in every way so that we can always be generous. Okay? We are blessed to be a blessing. And we are called to be generous with our resources. And thanks always produces giving. Thanks always produces giving. I was thinking, there was a video I saw recently, and it was a small group. They went to a local grocery store, and they got in the grocery lines behind people who just had just a full buggy of groceries, and they were unloading. They just got in the line, and they stood behind them, and they just kind of walked up as the belt just brought all the items to the end as they scanned the items. And then finally, the last item would be scanned, and the cashier would say the price, and the small group would reach over, and they would just swipe their card real quick and say, Jesus is thinking about you today. He's madly in love with you. Have a good day. And they would take off running. It was really awesome. But what you would see those people do is you would see them just break. on that video. Some of them would just weep. They would bawl their eyes out. And then some of them would literally, thanks produces giving, they would be thankful, and they would say, man, God blessed me today. Hey, I'm going to bless somebody else. And they would go, and they would pay for the person's groceries behind them. See, thanks always produces giving. Thankfulness always produces giving. You know, there's a lot of us in this room that we are blessed. And man, I'm thankful that all my bills are paid, that I have heat in my house. And there are a lot of us who are blessed like that. But there are a lot of people who can't afford to pay their bills. They can't pay the power bill. They can't, pay their utilities like they should be able to. And one of the biggest mistakes I think that we can make sometimes, and listen to this, young people, but one of the biggest mistakes I think that we can make sometimes is we can think that the church staff is the church. And so we think in our minds, like, I know somebody who can't pay their utilities. I'm going to call the church and get them to pay their utilities. When the church staff is not the church, we are the church, okay? And there could be a reason that they were put in front of you so that you could be generous, so that you could say, hey, you know what, man? I'm blessed. All my bills are paid, and I've got plenty of leftover to share with others. Let me go to that person and ask them how I can help. I'm not going to ask anybody else. God, you put this person in front of me. I'm going to be generous to them because I'm blessed. I'm blessed so that I can bless other people. You know, we're blessed to buy our kids Christmas and buy our families Christmas, and a lot of you realize that, and so you got an angel from Angel Tree, and you sponsored a kid's Christmas. By the way, we have run out of all the angels from Angel Tree. Isn't that awesome? Can we give it up for that? All those kids will have Christmas, both campuses, by the way, which is awesome. But we don't just say, man, I'm thankful that, you know, God, I'm just really thankful that I could get my kids Christmas. I'm thankful that I could buy Christmas presents for my family and, you know, my friends. But we also realize how blessed we are and how we can bless somebody else. See, thankfulness always produces giving. I think about a guy in the gym. He just got saved at Desperation Church about a month and a half ago, and he just got a big promotion at work. Him and his brother work at the same place, and they both got the promotion. And he came up to me in the gym. He basically preached my message to me. It was one of those, like, hey, man, I'm actually preaching on that this weekend. But he said, man, God has blessed me so much with this promotion that, man, me and my brother, we were just talking, and we said, man, God has blessed us. And so we're going to go out. We're going to get 20 turkeys and get the dressing, get all the fixings, everything that goes with it. And we're going to take them to 20 families who don't have anything and so that they can have a Thanksgiving for Christmas. Okay, see, thankfulness, he said, man, I'm so thankful God has blessed me. How can I bless other people? See, thankfulness always produces giving. It always produces generosity. And see, we take so much for granted. By the way, we take things for granted, like tonight, a lot of you will leave here and you will drive through a drive-thru on the way home just to get a quick supper, right? A quick dinner. We take things like that for granted. But man, we're blessed to be able to do that so that we can bless other people. Okay, we like to do something here called the drive-thru blessing, okay? And what we do is we have these You Are Loved cards. They're at the Connection Center. And what you do is you pull up to a drive-through window, you pay for your meal, but you also tell them, hey, I want to get the car behind me, and I want you to give them this card. And it just says, You Are Loved, has service times on the back. Okay, and so when they pull up, they get a free meal, and they get a card that says, You Are Loved. And it's just really, really incredible. But I will never forget the story of the kid who was going to commit suicide one night. And he had made up his mind that he was going to take his own life one night, and he said to himself, though, he said, you know what, I'm going to eat my favorite meal before I do this. I'm just going to go, I'm going to eat my favorite meal. And so he goes to Chick-fil-A and orders his favorite thing on the menu before he goes home, and he just made it up in his mind that he was going to take his life that night, just had no reason to live anymore. And he pulls up to the drive-thru window, and he gets a You Are Loved card, and looks at it and begins to entertain the thought of why he got this. It's good timing, right? And he goes to the church the next morning, and he hears about how much Jesus loves him. And he hears about how life and joy is only found in Jesus. And he ends up giving his life to Jesus that day. And then he writes that entire story on a connection card. So you never know. See, we're blessed. Like, we're blessed, and we should be thankful to be able to leave here and just nonchalantly go through a drive-thru. But we're blessed to do those things so that we can bless other people, so that we can be generous. There's tons of You Are Love cards out there at the Connection Center. Everybody grab one on your way out the door and bless somebody. You know, it could be somebody that you know who just recently got laid off, who can't buy Christmas for their kids, and maybe you can help with that. You know, and our church is blessed. Okay, we're blessed, and we take 10% of what you give, and we give it away. Okay, so that's why we do things like firework shows. That's why we do things like flipping teachers' lounges. That's why we do serve days. That's why we do free landscaping. That's why we pull up at a public parking lot in Jasper or Arab or Coleman, and we with a grill, and we cook 200, 300 hamburgers and hold up signs that say, Desperation Church loves you, no donations accepted, and it freaks people out. They do not know what to do with generosity. Listen to me. They don't know what to do with generosity. A lot of you have served, and you've had those arguments with people. Like, they're like, why? Why is this free? Why won't you take my donation? You know, and I want you to know that it shocks people because generosity is so missing in our culture. See, thanks produces giving. God has blessed you to be a blessing. See, generosity is so missing in our culture. But see, generosity opens up a door for people to meet Jesus. Because see, they wonder why. And then that opens up just a conversation for you. Okay? Generosity is missing in our culture, and that's why it's so shocking. So wake up every morning and always worship God. Thank God for everything He has blessed you with, but don't just stop there. Say, God, thank you so much for everything you've blessed me with. Now, how can I bless somebody today with what you've given me? Because God, you have not just given me this for me. You have given me this to bless other people. Now, the third thing that we have a tendency to hoard and keep to ourselves that God has blessed us with that is meant to be shared with others that can bless other people is our gifts and our talents. It's our gifts and our talents. I believe one of the richest places on the planet, okay, are graveyards. Okay, where God gave somebody a book to write, a song to write, a business to start, a church to plant, something. And they never, He gave them just a dream, just a God dream, and they never did anything with it because they were afraid they would look foolish even trying. And it died with them. It died with them when it could have been great. Now, I want you to know that every single person in this room, listen, you are gifted in something. You are gifted in something. God has gifted you. In some area, every person in this room, you are a 10 in some area, okay? And those people that you see, we have a way for you to operate in your gifts and your talents here at Desperation Church. It's called the DC Connect team, okay? And so those people that from the parking lot to the platform, those are not like those are people that we didn't just say, hey, I need you to be here. I need you to fill this position. Those are people literally gifted and talented in those areas, from the parking lot to the platform. They're having gifts of using gifts of hospitality. They're using gifts of exhortation up here on stage. They're using gifts of craftsmanship and building things. They're operating in their gifts and their talents. They're singing. They're leading worship. And those people could just stay home. Those people don't have to use their gifts to bless anybody. They can just say, hey, you know what? I have it. I'm gifted in administration, but never do anything with it other than things for them. When you were given the gifts that you have to bless other people in your life, okay? And everybody thankful for our worship pastor, Caleb Jett. Y'all thankful for him? Hey, let's bring out Caleb Jett real quick. Y'all give it up for him. How many wants to hear Caleb Jett sing a song? Huh?
Like Let It Go from...
Let It Go. Let It Go is good. Yeah, Let It Go is good. Whatever.
I'd like to hear you sing that, actually.
Whatever comes from your heart, huh? No. Let It Go. You don't want to hear it. It's awful.
So just anything?
Just anything. Anything okay. that just comes to you.
Okay.
And it feels like I am just too close to love you. There ain't nothing that I can really say. Yeah. All right, now listen. Like this could have stayed in the shower. You know what I'm saying? How many gets blessed by this guy every week, though? Every single week. It's incredible what this team does because they sing like 15 songs a Sunday, 15 times a Sunday?
Actually, three songs.
Three songs, but five times, which is 15, right?
Yeah.
I'm not good at math, but is that it?
That's right.
Is that 15?
He's
15.
From Walker County.
15 times. I'm from Walker County. From Walker County.
But we love Walker
County. It's okay. He's from Mississippi. Oh,
we got to stop, okay? I got to preach, okay? I got to preach. But man, listen, he comes up, he doesn't just give his talents away and bless people by standing up here and singing every Sunday, but he also pours into young worship leaders. Okay, raises up future worship campus, campus worship pastors for future Desperation Church campuses all over the Southeast. Y'all give it up for Caleb real quick. And listen, by the way, Caleb is single and ready to mingle, okay? And so I'm going to give his phone number out one time only. So ladies, get your phones out, okay? Some of y'all really got your phones out. You're like, I got this. He's really doing that. Oh, go to his small group. Anyway. Your gifts and your talents were never meant to be kept to yourself. They're always meant to be used to bless other people. That's why you've been given those. Okay. Now, the fourth thing that we have been incredibly blessed with, but have a huge tendency to keep to ourselves, is the gospel. It's the gospel. Anybody here thankful for the cross? You know, we are so thankful for the blessing of the cross, the fact that Jesus came and met us in our mess, for his forgiveness, for his love, and for his continuous attentiveness to us always. Always, we're so thankful for that. But there, we have this tendency to go to work and just be 9-to-5ers, just be normal people. You have the tendency to go to school, to go to college, and just be an average person, to just be normal. When God never called you to be normal. God never called you to be average. God called you to be intentional. God called you to be extraordinary. God called you to change your world. To change your world. You know, I'll say it like this. Found people find people. Found people find people. If you have been found, then go find people. Then go find people. Because here's the deal. When you really understand, get an understanding of who Jesus is, what he has really done for you, the price that he has paid for you, how he came and met you where you are in the middle of your mess, when you really get an understanding of the beauty of the gospel, you can't help but give it away. You can't help but tell other people. Could you imagine for one second if you had the cure for cancer? If you discovered the cure for cancer, you did. Okay, you would not keep that to yourself, right? You would never keep that to yourself. You would be incredibly intentional everywhere you went. You go into cancer treatment facilities and go in there to all the cancer patients and say, hey, y'all don't have to be sick anymore. I have the cure. You'd post it up on Fox News and CNN telling everybody, I have the cure for cancer. You don't have to be sick anymore. You would go to public places and you'd be looking for people who had the disease of cancer, telling them you have the cure. But if you're a believer in this room tonight, you have the cure to death, hell, and the grave. So why are we keeping it to us? Ask yourself and be honest with yourself, man, am I selfish with the gospel? Do I keep Jesus to me, or do I go intentionally looking? Everywhere I go, intentionally looking. So you don't work with those people by chance. You don't go to school with those people by chance. You're not in those people's lives by chance. But it's by divine appointment, because you have something that they don't have. See, the cross is for everybody. The cross is big enough for everybody. And there's a reason that they are in your life. And I'm not saying go and shove religion down somebody's throat and say, hey, buddy, you need to get in church, clean up your act. I'm not saying that. It's amazing how that's how people share the gospel. I'm talking about tell people what Jesus has done for you and what he can do for them. And don't just tell them, because we live in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, right, where most people know the story of Jesus, but they need to see Jesus lived out through the church. And that means running to the messes when everybody else is running from them. That means not acting allergic to people who are living in lifestyles of sin, but running to them and building relationships with them. That means loving the unlovable and loving the broken. It means being different. So Mark 16:15, this isn't on the screen, but you can mark it down. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You know, there's a guy, we have this little group that we work out with in the mornings at our gym in Jasper. And there's this guy that, you know, there's a few of us, there's really about five or six of us. And this guy just started working out with us, and we end up getting this conversation, and then the conversation goes spiritual, and then he ends up just talking about how, you know, man, I want to follow Jesus like I see my friends who are Christians do. Like, I want that. And I just told him, I said, dude, it is not by chance you're working out with us. It's not. But you work out with us by divine appointment. We spent about an hour talking, and the guy gave his life to Jesus right there in the gym. Okay? And there was nothing kooky. There was nothing weird. We just had a conversation. And see, a lot of times, what we do sometimes is we pray. We're like, God, I just pray that you would just open up doors for me to share the gospel today. But I think we need to change our prayers. I think we need to understand that doors are already open. If there are human beings who don't know Jesus around you every single day, guess what? Doors are always open. They're open. They're there. Maybe what we need to start praying is, Jesus, open up my eyes. Take my eyes off of me and my own little world, and put my, I want to see people the way you see people. I want to see people the way you see people. And he will inconvenience you. Like, sharing the gospel, giving people, sometimes it'll inconvenience you, okay? I remember there was a couple Sundays ago, it was about 2 months ago, I guess. It was just a really, you know, pastors get discouraged sometimes. And, you know, it was a day where we were there all day, setting up, tearing down, and just doing some things there. And I just had to kind of have some me time for a little bit. Anybody ever had that? You just need some me time? Just kind of a little rough day. And I get away, and I'm just like, whoo, I can breathe. I just need a little bit. And I go to the store. I just go to the store, get me a drink and a snack. And I walk in, and this is my me time, okay? It's my me time. I walk in. There's this guy standing by the door on my way in. And I said, hey, buddy. And I talked to everybody. I just said, hey, man, what's up, buddy? How are you? He goes, not so good. And I said, I'm not doing it, God. I'm not doing it. I'm not going in, getting my drink, and I'm leaving. I'm not doing it. He did not just say that. And I go in there, and I get my drink, my snack, and I'm getting nauseous because I know if I do not talk to this guy, if I don't talk to this guy, I'm not going to be able to sleep that night. And so I get my drink and I walk out and I ask him, I said, hey, man, did you say you're having you weren't doing so good? And I said, why? What's going on? And he just begins to tell me the story that is his life. And he ends up riding back with me to our campus. I do not recommend that, especially young people, to have a stranger ride in your car. I could just take this guy. Okay, I know I could. Anyway. But he rode back in the car with me, and he just began to ask these questions. You know, he asked me what I did, and, you know, I told him, and he said, man, I'm not really a religious guy, I'm not really one of those guys. And we end up talking, and I just told him, I said, have you ever heard the story of Jesus? Like, and I shared the gospel with him. And just the simple gospel. You don't have to put any fluff on it. It will change lives. What Jesus did, you don't have to spice it up. You don't have to put anything sweet around. You don't have to sugarcoat it. You don't have to. It will change lives by itself. The gospel is powerful. The cross is powerful. I just tell him the simple gospel, and the guy begins to just weep right there in my car. Gives his life to Jesus right there in my car that day. Surrenders his life to Christ. Comes in, fills out a connection card. And I tell you that to tell you that there are opportunities everywhere you go. Okay? We're not called to hoard the gospel. God can use you everywhere you go. And God, the Holy Spirit's revealing people in your life to you right now. Right now, people that you've been around for a long time. I'll never forget the story of a missionary named Mark Tan. He's a missionary in Italy. And Mark grew up, he was not a believer, did not follow Jesus at all, and graduated school, went into the military, and he worked with these guys and these soldiers all together for a really long time. And one night, he gets invited to this church service, and he's like, okay, I'll go with a buddy, you know, whatever. He goes into that church service and gets radically changed by Jesus, gives his life to Christ. And man, God just does something incredible in his life. And he leaves that church service, I mean, like foaming at the mouth. He cannot wait to get to work and tell all of his closest friends, all of his buddies that he works with, about this Jesus that paid a price for them, to tell them about the cross, to tell them about the story of Jesus. And he goes to work. Finally, the next morning comes. He goes to work the next morning, walks in, and he goes to his first buddy, and he sits down, and he talks to him, shares the gospel with him. And his buddy goes, oh, no, Mark, man, I'm a believer, bro. He said, I'm a Christian. He goes, oh, okay, okay, cool. And then he goes to the next guy and shares the gospel with him. He goes, oh, no, man, I'm a Christian, bro. I'm a follower of Jesus, man. Welcome. That's awesome, bro. Glad you got saved. He goes through all of his buddies there who were soldiers, and all of them were Christians. And he brings them all in a room together after he had those individual conversations, and he said, guys, we've been friends for years. He said, and praise God that last night happened at that church service. He said, but you've been my friends for years, and you're Christians, and you didn't tell me about Jesus? You didn't tell me about this Jesus? You were going to let me die. And you didn't tell me about the cross? And I've been with you for years. And he made up his mind that day. He said, I'll never be like them. I will never keep the gospel to myself, but I will share it everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. But I wonder how many of us are like his friends. Are like his friends where we keep it to ourselves when it was meant to be given away. I mean, there are so many opportunities. So many opportunities around us every single day to give people Jesus, to give people the gospel. See, we are blessed with the gospel, not just so we can be thankful, but so we can give it away. You're blessed to bless other people. See, thankfulness produces giving. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much.